In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthy magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
Oh,
A reading from Amos. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion and those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory and lounge on their couches and eat lambs from the flock and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David improvise on those instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the revelry of the loungers shall pass away. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsibly. Please read the bold print. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with all my being.
Put not your trust in rulers and mortals whom there is no help. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, seas, and all that is in them, who keeps promises forever.
Who gives justice to those who are oppressed, and food to those who hunger. The Lord sets the captive free.
The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord sets up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous.
The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked.
The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, throughout all generations. Hallelujah.
A reading from 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world so that we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith, take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who is in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which we will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. It is he alone who is immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me. and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us. He said, Then, Father, I beg you, send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. He said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable we get today from Luke's Gospel is what many point to when they conjure up an image of hell. Our images and even understandings of hell, though, are more cultural than they are theological. What we see played out in this parable is the predicament that the rich man has now found himself in, not a place where God has sent him. The rich man has placed himself there. Abraham still refers to the rich man as child. Compassion is being displayed, but there is a chasm. Chasm not fixed by God, but by the rich man. It reminds me of C.S. Lewis believing that hell is locked from the inside. The rich man is in this predicament, but still has not been changed or transformed at all. He still expects this new predicament that he finds himself in to operate in where his life operated. He still sees himself above Lazarus. He's learned nothing. He thinks Lazarus should be fetched to serve him. He's learned nothing. There's no repentance, even in this experience of torment. Theologian and pastor Tom Long talks about the theology of the gospel being a theology that it's never too late. And that when God opens a window of blessing, a kingdom window, we all have an opportunity to be part of what God is doing in the world. But those windows will close throughout our lives. Open windows, and then they close. He tells a story that he read in a book of a man being in a nursing home. And most times we see people in nursing homes over time will lose their memory. But this particular man was plagued by his inability to lose his memory. His name was Art. His wife of 60 years, he kept remembering throughout their marriage how horrible he treated her. He was tormented by this. She would even say to him, Please tell me you love me. And he would not do so. He would say, I show it. I don't need to say it. And then when he found her in a coma, he couldn't say it enough. But she could not say anything back to him. He doesn't know if he forgave her. The window closed. Tom Long himself shared a story where he decided as a young father to get on an airplane, to give a speech to people who no longer remember him or what he said, instead of going to the father-daughter campfire girl banquet.
that his daughter was begging him to go to. And now that he's older and wiser, Tom Long says he's now ready to go to the father-daughter campfire banquet. But his daughter isn't a little girl anymore. She doesn't need her father in that way that she did back then. He missed it. What windows have you missed? I know I have missed my fair share. Now, Long said that in Jesus' day as a kid, he probably heard sermons along these lines. The old rabbis would preach on these windows of blessing that God would open up and would close if you didn't act. Their favorite sermon illustration would have been Eliezer of Damascus stories, an obscure biblical character mentioned only once in the Bible. Genesis chapter 15, verse 2. Eliezer of Damascus was Abraham's right-hand man. And the rabbis made up stories about him, that when God wanted to bless the earth, he would ask Abraham to send Eliezer of Damascus as a blessing. But Eliezer would always come incognito. You had to be on the lookout. He could be the stranger sitting next to you in the airplane. He could be someone that you cross paths with at the coffee shop, right? Always incognito. You had to be on alert. And if you translate Eliezer from Hebrew to Greek, you know what you get? Lazarus. So what we have in this parable is the blessing of God designed as a beggar. And the rich man missed his window of blessing. Now, we recently heard Jesus tell a parable where at the conclusion, he says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and wealth. And while none of us are billionaires or oligarchs of the world, we're still financially better off when compared to the world's population. And wealth can be just about more than money. We could also think about other types of wealth. Our accomplishments, our status, both individually and as a family, our reputation, our time. And this becomes the rubric to how we define our worth and the worth of others, when we consider financial, social, physical, mental. A balance of all those things is necessary, which is why we tend to associate all that with our overall wellness, right? We call it wellness. But when any or all those things become an idol, it puts us in a predicament, because we put them above our God, and we can only serve one master. What these parables are getting at is our heart. The rich and the poor dichotomy help us grasp the concept, but it could also get us off the hook. Because as Americans, we could be listening to this and be like, well, we're all middle class, right? No matter who you are, everybody thinks we're middle class. I'm not rich, I'm not poor, this isn't about me. But it's about you, and it's about me. God wants to bless us, and part of that blessing is responding to that invitation to love and serve both God and neighbor. But if our heart is focused elsewhere, then we're going to miss all those windows of God's blessing that are only open for a short time. Do we love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves? Or do we neglect our neighbors that are at our gate, so to speak? Timothy Hoyler writes, "We look at the worth of our lives by looking at the things we see and do. We do not look at our hearts. What do our hearts love? What motivates our hearts? Why do our hearts judge? Why are our hearts inclined towards prejudice? What master do we serve, God or wealth? What do we take pride in? And why are we compelled to have things to take pride in? We are pushed, shoved, and told we have to fill our trophy case with what we have. It's a constant demand. But we never question why we feel the need to do it. The demands we ascribe to become a burden and an accusation for those who have little." The chasm is fixed by the rich man. The chasm is fixed by you and me. We separate ourselves from God when we put other things before God. All those other false gods we put above God might give us some short-term benefits, might give us new life and salvation for a moment, but not forever. And as we heard in the parable, that with that chasm, no one can cross it, Abraham says. No one can cross it. But we know the good news. There is one who crosses it. And it's Jesus. It is Jesus that has closed that chasm, destroyed that chasm, to bring us back into full communion and reconciliation with our God. That's the good news that we cling to. We might not always value God in our lives, but God values you. When Jesus took on our flesh, he entered a world that ignored and neglected their neighbor at the expense of whatever captivated their hearts. And Jesus ministering to the people suffering outside the gates of society would ultimately throw him as an outcast himself. In Christ, we have love, forgiveness, grace, and mercy. We have God in Christ Jesus that continues to search for us even when we ignore those windows of God's blessing. It is through the cross that that chasm that we created is closed. And when we repent, when we turn to the Lord, we see that we are God's prize. That we are what God desires. We are in awe then of God's amazing grace and love. When we gather to hear that that chasm has been removed through the forgiveness of our sins, through the promise that we hear in the gospel spoken, shared, and proclaimed, and when Christ comes to us in that holy meal of Holy Communion, we are filled with such love and joy, we're going to go out into this world and value all those people that God values. And I'll make it easy for you. It's everyone. We go out and we value all those people that God values. And transformed by God's amazing grace through the cross, that chasm that has been removed should now make us ever more aware of God's windows of blessings. More attentive to the neighbors at the gates of our society that we are called to welcome and love. Beloved children of God, we are open to God's blessings. We get to be God's blessing, and we get to trust God's blessing that will never expire in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
Amen. Yeah. Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
As scattered grains of wheat are gathered together into one bread, so let us gather our prayers for the church, those in need, and all of God's good creation. O God, rich in mercy, fill your church with righteousness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Empower the baptized by your Spirit to be rich in good works and ready to share. God of grace, we pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, our Stephen ministry, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. God of grace, protect the earth and its creatures. Provide water, food, shelter, and favorable habitats, especially for endangered species. Preserve threatened ice caps, glaciers, parks, and beaches. God of grace, increase justice in nations, local governments, and courtrooms. Guide lawyers and those who hold public office to act with compassion and discernment. God of grace, give food to the hungry. Set the captives free. Lift up those who are bowed down. Watch over the stranger. Tend to those who are ill or grieving, especially Tracy, Maddie, Scott, Amber, Marjorie, Pat, Andrea, the family of Vincent Fisher Sr., Pat, Debbie, Candace, Betty, Stan, Barb, Jerry, Phyllis, Cheryl, George, Lucas, John, Cindy, Leah, Carol, Mark, and our homebound. Stir us to act in the best interest of our neighbors, God of grace. Enliven our praise. Inspire musicians, artists, poets, and all who create beauty in this place. God of grace, holy God, we pray for those in our armed services, especially Cade and Luke, and their chaplains. God of grace, enfold the saints who have died in the arms of your loving care. Grant that the holy angels accompany us and bring us to eternal life with them in the light of your presence. God of grace,
gather together in the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, gracious God, we offer these and all our prayers to you through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. You may be seated. We continue with the offering.
Let us pray. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need, through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give
our
praise and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, endless is your mercy and eternal your reign. You have filled all creation with light and life. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. We praise you for the grace shown to your people in every age, the promise to Israel, the rescue from Egypt, the gift of the promised land, the words of the prophets, and at this end of all the ages, the gift of your Son, who proclaimed the good news in word and deed, and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Therefore, O God, with this bread and cup, we remember the life our Lord offered for us. And believing the witness of his resurrection, we await his coming in power to share with us the great and promised feast.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Send now, we pray, your Holy Spirit, that we who share in Christ's body and blood may live to the praise of your glory and receive our inheritance with all your saints in light. Join our prayers with those of your servants of every time and every place, and unite them with the ceaseless petitions of our great high priest until he comes as victorious Lord of all. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father.
But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite forward anyone who is helping with the distribution of the sacrament and anyone participating in Children's Church this morning. The distribution of the sacrament will be continuous. I will be in the center aisle with the consecrated hosts. There'll be two stations for consecrated wine. If you desire grape juice, that will be on the pulpit side. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you.
Thank you.
Please rise. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more we will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John,
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.